New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Red Circle. Also, the Five Reasons YouTube channel. Make sure you hit like, subscribe, and turn the notifications on. Also, check out Off the Floor. That's our new Discord, $2.99 per month. 10 different channels. We're actually looking at draft prospects right now on one of the channels and doing daily Q&As with the hosts of Five on the Floor. So most Heat talk you'll get anywhere without the clutter of Twitter. Link is right here on the YouTube description, the podcast description, and pinned to the top of the Five Reasons Sports Twitter page. Also, check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network. That includes Better Edge. Use the code 5RSN or 5Reasons. That's the number 5 and then Reasons. Get $20 to play. We know, obviously, a lot of people concerned about what's going on in the state of Florida, what's legal, what's not legal. We can tell you this for sure. Better Edge is legal. As long as you've got someone on the other side of the bet, state of Florida is fine with it. And so you still can play props on Better Edge. So sign up, go to betteredge.com. Again, that's with an O, betteredge.com. Use the code 5RSN or 5Reasons. And now, today's episode. Down to Biscay.
Yay. Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got it all banned. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And pat we trust, it's power, have the guts. We're here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome back to Five on the Floor. Here's today's floor plan. I'm Ethan Skolnick. You can follow me at Ethan J. Skolnick and at Five Reasons Sports. I got Eternal Bass. You can follow him at Eternal Bass. You can also follow him as the host of our playback content. Make sure that you download the playback app for free. We go every game from beginning to end. And also we do off day film breakdowns, not just on the Heat, but we're starting to do them on the other sports as well. So check that out. Again, playback app is free. Look for the Five Reasons room, sign up, and you'll join Eternal, myself, Ray, Matt, Ben, Gad, and of course, Brady, Alex, and Greg are on there quite a bit as well. And Sean, Brian, our whole crew from Five Reasons Sports pops into playback. Today we're going to talk about the Turtles' favorite subject, Nikola Jovic. We're going to have one of those hashtag Eternal Was Right episodes, although I'm not going to allow him to say it more than once, otherwise I just buzz him. But I think we're at the point now where this has to be seriously discussed because you know Brady Hawk's been pushing for it too. I mean, Brady has been saying for the past few weeks, look, Jovic needs to start. And it seems like that's where this has gone. Now, there have been pieces out during this stretch when Jovic has been starting. But I just want to give you some of the historical significance from Miami Heat perspective, because I looked up some of this stuff. I actually did some research when I got back from my trip. Sorry, I was away for the past couple of days. All right, Jovic is not 21 yet. Okay. He was born June 9th, 2003. About 2.5 weeks before Dwayne Wade was drafted.
That's crazy.
Okay? That's how young he is. Now, just for some context, Dwayne didn't start his first game for the Heat until he was 21 years and a little over 7 months old. Michael Beasley did start as a 19-year-old for the Heat. He was born June 9th, 1989. And he started his first game October 29th, 2008. He actually started the first 15 games of that season as like a 19-and-a-half-year-old. And then he got replaced in the starting lineup by former starter Udonis Haslem, and then he started a little bit at the end of that season. Mario Chalmers, when he started for the Heat, was already almost 23 years old. Tyler Hero started some games as a 19-year-old into 20, but wasn't starting consistently. And then you have to go back to sort of the pre-Riley era to find younger starters. And most of them were not, actually, because most of the players that the Heat drafted during the pre-Riley era, whether it was Steve Smith, Glenn Rice, et cetera, they played pretty lengthy college careers. So more like Jaime Hawkins. So I want to begin there, Eternal, because for those who have been saying, well, the Heat need to get him on the floor, they need to see what they have, they don't necessarily need to do that in the context of their history, because they haven't typically done that, and they haven't had a player worthy of that. But now they are doing it. Mm-hmm. And now when Jovic starts his next game, he will have started more games than he started as many games as Caleb Martin has this season. And he's already started more games than Hawkins by one. So for all the talk about Hawkins, and we know obviously Jimmy is sort of a blocker to Hawkins in the starting lineup, Jovic has started more. Did you expect him to get more time to this point than he has? No, I'm just curious. Before we get into what he's done, I mean, because to me, this is exceeding my expectations.
If you're asking me honestly, yes. And I think anybody that has watched you know, us on playback, you know, last year in the offseason, I said if Jovic was still on his team, I expected him to start at some point. And he has. You know, it hasn't been exactly what I expected. I did think, you know, I said if Jovic, I think said if he started like 50 games, he could average 15 points. Obviously, it hasn't reached anywhere near that, and it absolutely won't, because it's just not enough games. But I did think that Jovic and Hawkins would contribute this season, and Hawkins came out the gate like that immediately from preseason. Nico, not so much. He showed some flashes early in the season, Ethan, if you remember, against like Minnesota and Boston, just for those very, very short stints. And then during the season, before getting like a permanent start, I'm not going to say permanent start, but kind of semi-permanent start, as you said, we've seen more of the flashes. I mean, he popped against the Lakers in L.A. He looked pretty good against Utah, a little bit against some other teams as well. So we have seen some things from him. And, you know, recently from this stretch, I think around like 8-9 games, his defense has been solid, you know, one-on-one, and also team defense as well. So some of that I did expect. You know, me and Matt stayed up watching those FIBA games. And you can kind of see what was there with Jovic. And one of the things I did think that they would happen this season is they would trust him more on ball, a little bit more on ball. And we have seen it. We've seen him initiate some plays. We've seen him be a connector and in some ways kind of set guys up. He's doing the pointing thing that Kyle Lowry did. He who shall not be named.
That's Kyle's legacy, I guess.
But we have seen some growth over the season, and honestly, that's inspiring, considering you heard, that this was a red shirt season for Jovic.
Yeah, what I heard was that they came into this season thinking that their future was Bam, Tyler, and Jaime, and maybe Nico. And that there were going to be opportunities for him to show it, but that they weren't necessarily going to rush it. And that's why I characterize this as a redshirt season, in part because they have so many other guys who seem like they're in the way of what Jovic does best. And this gets back to the conversations that we had and that I had with him in Brooklyn. Mine was not the one that got him into trouble. It was his interview that same night after the game with a reporter, where it got translated in a weird way, where it seemed like he was, you know, really angry. He wasn't. He was frustrated. He expressed that frustration to me, and it was mostly about playing the five, and that, you know, whenever he went to Sioux Falls, he played the five. And it seemed like at the time that Spo was trying to put him in the spot he thought there may be minutes. That's essentially, you get him in the five spot, but it's just not a comfortable spot for him. And I know our Sean Rochester and others argue against, you know, positions and all the rest of that stuff. And, you know, it's basically who you guard more so than what position you play on offense and all of that. But there was a frustration level for sure. And I think where it gets complicated is, on paper, he is exactly what they need next to Bam Adebayo. Like, they've been searching for something, and they found kind of a prototype, which is, you know, the undersized power forward who can switch, right? Like, and, you know, and do the dirty work stuff so that, you know, Bam can grab the rebounds. And, you know, they obviously started, you know, it was Jay, it was unsuccessfully, you know, Mo Harkless, it was somewhat unsuccessfully the corpse of Trevor Ariza. It was, now it's been Martin, it's been Highsmith, it was Tucker, right? So it was been that proto. But ideally, you would have someone more like Jovic, someone more like, say, Kelly Olynyk, who, if you looked at the two-man combinations of Bam and Kelly, the numbers were always excellent, though Kelly is not a good rebounder. Like, it just – Kelly's ability to stretch the floor and do those kind of things, create space for Bam, was instrumental in a lot of their lineups, and is one of the reasons Kelly was a valuable piece for them. And so if you would, and then there's Kevin Love, who, if you had the Kevin Love from 5, 6, 7 years ago,
perfect.
He's the perfect player next to Bam, right? As it is, you're getting more out of Kevin than I think any of us anticipated. But so that's the thing, Turtle, is that Jovic on paper is the perfect four next to Bam, but it's the rest of the lineup that makes it tricky, I think, because he is at his best. You made the point on ball. He's at his best creating. He's at his best pushing in transition. He has his head up on the break, which, first thing, not a lot of Heat players do, and certainly not a lot of bigs around the league do, okay? We talked about the Heat's troubles in transition. Jovic makes their transition game better. He just does. But also, he is a guy who can make plays for you in the half court. And when you have Jimmy, and you have Tyler, and you run stuff through Bam, and even though Duncan is an off-the-ball player, you're running actions for Duncan. And now you have Rozier, right? It's complicated, I think, to find the right lineup that he can sit in permanently offensively. We'll get into the defense part in a second because that's really the key, okay? But it's offensively, I'll ask you this. When Hero comes back, whenever that is, okay, and we don't know at this point, he's going to be inserted into the starting lineup, we believe. We believe.
Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. These days, all of us are operating in an information technology space, and that is dangerous. And that's why I signed up for Incogni. You can find it at incogni.com. That's incogni.com/5floor. That's FIVE. FLOOR, name of this podcast, and you get 60% off an annual plan. Now, why should you do this? Because data brokers are out there creating shadow profiles on you that include a frightening amount of personal details. These insights are then used by scammers, total strangers, insurance companies, banks, businesses, and even the government. You want to avoid the identity theft, the increased costs, and all of the things that come with this. So you got to sign up for Incogni. They will go through the entire process with you and begin that data removal. So again, you can be safer in this online space. So check it out, incogni.com. Again, that's incogni.com/5floor, spelled out 5floor, and you get 60% off an annual plan.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
If it's going to be Rozier and Hero and Bam and Jimmy, is there a role for Jovic offensively other than spot up corner threes? Which, by the way, his numbers are good there, but it doesn't maximize his skill set.
I think so. And I think if you commit to having Tyler be more off ball, I mean, we've been talking about it all season. Just have Tyler be more ball. And I'm not saying, like, play more like Duncan. I think you can use him in some cuts. You know, I think you can use him in as a way of a decoy and have some other options on the other actions, excuse me, on the other side of the floor that kind of get Tyler going, get some movement and things of that nature, where maybe you don't just get him some long-range shots. Maybe you kind of get him in the floater. As much as we hate the floater, it works for Tyler. And sometimes you just got to go with what works. And so maybe you can get some inverted pick and rolls between Jovic and Tyler. Maybe you can get some things that it starts with Jovic and Bam, right? You know, and you kind of create some mismatches, or you get some things going with Jovic and Jimmy. There's just so many options, Ethan, where you can run pick and roll options with Nico, Jimmy, Terry's on ball pick and roll options. And maybe you can kind of get something going for Tyler and use him in that kind of way. I think it is something that you can use where you can maybe use in some cases against different matchups. You could probably use Jimmy and Nico as more on ball and Terry and Tyler as more off ball. You know, if you can get a quicker offense going, causing the defense to have to shift and react instead of playing set, then maybe it can look a lot more fluid than, you know, and maybe it's something that, you know, it gives you a different option. Obviously, we'll get to the defense later. But yes, I do think there are avenues for it to work. It's just all about how you get guys to buy into that, but also making use of guys' basketball IQ.
Here's the point that I want to make as an overriding point before we get back into the defense, is that whenever you have a young player like this on a contending team, is different. If you're on a bad team, you throw him out there. He probably develops some bad habits that may take him years to clean up. I mean, you look at what's happened in places like Detroit and other places that have been bad for a long time. I don't know if some of those picks would have panned out if they'd had a better support system in terms of veterans, in terms of coaching, in terms of playing meaningful games. Miami's not in that situation. We talked about this a lot with Jaquez and the fact that he fit right in. Now he's having to make some adjustments to the adjustments that have been made to him, but I think everybody thinks that he's going to come through it. But you have to balance these things, and the things that you've got to balance are you've got the development of the player, him being able to play through mistakes without losing confidence, at the same time as not hurting the team. And it took me about 60 games to come to this, but I tweeted this the other day. It's time to live with the mistakes. I'm at the point, and I know that, again, those of you who were pushing for this earlier among your, you know, you being among them, will make the point, well, you should have done this earlier. I always come back to this when it comes back to the Heat's development. Okay, there are things that I don't necessarily agree with what they do organizationally or players they go for, don't go for, whatever. I don't challenge them at all on the developmental stuff, because my view of it is that whenever Heat fans have been pushing for a guy to play sooner, and they wait to play the guy or put the guy in a certain position, and he performs well when they put him in, the conclusion that fans jump to is, well, see, look, I was right. He should have been playing earlier. The conclusion I jump to is, well, see, look, they waited until he was ready, and they made sure that he could handle the situation before they put him in. And I know sometimes, look, every situation is a little different, and so maybe I'm casting too broad a brush on all of that. Okay, maybe it's not the case with every single guy. But I've been through this a million times with Heat fans. They always want the young guy to play. Okay. Mm-hmm. And when the Heat wait, there's usually a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go back to the Beasley example, okay? Because this goes back a long way, but this is before they became really a developmental organization, okay?
Mm-hmm.
2008, they have a horrible season in 07-08. They weren't planning on tanking, but everybody got hurt. Even UD, okay, mm-hmm. cried uncle, right? And they sat him the rest of the year. They don't get the number one pick.
Mm-hmm.
So that's Rose. Pat really doesn't want Beasley. They tried to trade down. Others in the organization did want Beasley. Okay. You haven't really heard from those folks in a long time. they wanted Beasley. It was hard to argue with the pick of Beasley because he was the consensus number one college basketball player that year. And he had a skill set. There's no question. His offensively elite. Okay. I mean, kind of guy could beat anybody in one-on-one, get a shot off from anywhere, had Carmelo Anthony like offensive talent. Okay. They threw him in there right away. It was obvious they weren't comfortable with it. Mm-hmm. He didn't know where the hell to go. Okay. I was at his first summer league. I was in Orlando before when they used to do it in Orlando before they went out to Vegas. I watched him against a guy named Sean Williams. Not the Sean Williams ended up playing for the Heat, but the Sean S-E-A-N. He was playing for the Nets at the time. Bees had 13 fouls. They wouldn't let you foul out. He had 13 fouls and probably that many turnovers. By the way, Mario Chalmers played really well in that game. We're like, okay, that might be their starting point guard. And he ended up starting 82 games. Beasley was not ready to be a starter on a team with any kind of aspirations. And again, they were coming off a 15-win season. Dwayne was a rookie, so they didn't have huge aspirations at the time. They sat him down after 15 games. They went back to UD. And then finally, Beasley started the last five games of the season. And again, my point on that is all I heard was during that period of time, why isn't Beasley starting? Why isn't Beasley starting? Why aren't they going to Beasley? Why aren't they featuring Beasley? Well, there was a reason. Okay. Because they were, by playing him or starting him, they were rewarding him for bad habits that he never got out of. All right. And they tried two more times with him. They brought him back two more times. Okay. And almost a third. So I guess, where do you come down on this? Because Heat fans are like, well, Spo should have realized Jovic could have done this stuff earlier. And I'm like, you think Spo doesn't realize what Jovic can and can't do? I just think he was waiting for the right opportunity where he thought the kid could actually handle it and had developed enough defensively where he wouldn't droop, you know, his own shoulders and cause the team to get frustrated because he wasn't in the right place.
I think the thing with Nico is just like how you ended it. He is a really big, confident person. If you remember when you guys went to training camp, one of the things Jimmy talked about was like, you could see Nico walking around with his chest puffed out, you know, coming off of the FIBA play and him, you know, kind of really playing well in FIBA and, you know, playing a big part of his home country, you know, making it to the finals, which they ended up losing into Germany, who his like comparison, NBA comparison, which was across from him, was Franz Wagner. I think the thing with Nico is, you know, like you talked about with opportunities, you know, when they drafted him, and I remember him talking about, you know, him coming from overseas and playing more in the guard position, you know, so you get thrown in, you're thrown in as a four and you're thrown in as a five, like it's totally different from that. And so there's a learning curve, and it was just a learning curve all last season. Even with, you know, him having the back spasm and groin, and so that being thrown off. And so coming into this season, still having that learning curve of how to play in the power rotation, as we call it, there was really no opportunity for him to be on ball like that to begin with. You know, you had Kyle Lowry, who said, I expect to be the starter. So you had Kyle, you had Drew Smith, you had Josh Richardson. Unless Nico showed like something very, very spectacular in training camp, if he even got the opportunity to be on ball in training camp, that just wasn't going to happen. Regardless of what I felt, Siobhan, shout out to Miami Heat Beat or anybody else, unless Nico had the opportunity to show what he could do on ball, you just weren't going to see it. But I think what's changed, Ethan, which I think played a really, really big role besides just the opportunity, I think Jimmy taking Nico on his arm and really pouring into him, kind of mentally, emotionally, from a big brother standpoint, kind of brought out that fire that you saw from FIBA, you know? And I think that played a big role and kind of tightened some things up. I mean, Jimmy Butler is one of the best players in the league, and we all lament that just for how, you know, his high IQ and the way he goes about, you know, about the game. And so having somebody that, you know, iron sharpened iron against, I think they played a big role. And then, you know, obviously being able to utilize those things in practice and having more of those live game experiences. And I remember you saying in one of the podcasts, some guys learn better in live games than they do in G League games or they do in practice. And so I think Nico is probably one of those players. And I think we have seen that, you know, here and there and kind of more consistently, especially with his defense.
I want to ask, when I come back from break, I want to ask a more philosophical question here, because I think this does play into it. With, you mentioned Jimmy, and obviously they're in the Jimmy window right now. They're also in the Jimmy season timeline, which means with 22 games left, you know, Mr. 22 is expected to keep hiking his play, and he's playing at a higher level now than he has throughout the entire season. But it does lead to an important question when we're talking about playing these young players in games that matter. Before we do, I want to mention a great sponsor, the Five Reasons Sports Network. They're also big fans of this podcast, and they're big Miami Heat fans. And you can find them at shoptubculture.com. Shoptubculture.com. These are bath and beauty products. And these are naturally made, and it's just great stuff. I ordered some. They're great for a significant other. If you have one of those, I'm telling you, this stuff will go over very well. I mean, it's not a lot of places that you can find the stuff that you can find on this site. So check it out, shoptubculture.com. I mean, they've got beer bath bombs. It's not actual beer, but if they're little beer mugs. They're cool. Check them out on all kinds of other stuff. For if you've got a daughter too, I got some of this stuff for my daughter as well. Check it out, shoptubculture.com. Use the code 5, FIVE, 10% off, 10% off to orders of $20 or more. Support a great local business and great Miami Heat fans and get great gifts as well. Again, shoptubculture.com. So here's the question. Boston beat Golden State by about 300 today.
Ooh, man, that score was crazy.
Okay. All right. I'm throwing it out there right now, and I've said this, that, I mean, give me the field. Because this is stacking up right now where everybody's building up Boston to be inevitable and invincible. And I understand there. It's a well-constructed roster. I said at the time of the Drew trade that I thought that Drew would be more impactful for Boston than Dame would be for Milwaukee. The Heat believed that as well, and I think that that's played out so far this season. And certainly the Porzingis trade has worked out. That's worked out better than I anticipated, and that is a real problem for Miami. We've seen that in the matchup so far. But I don't think they're inevitable. I don't. I think – If you tell me that you're giving Jimmy and Jokic a crack at them this year, I think that they crack against one of those two teams. I've seen it happen on their home floor. I've seen the way Jaylen Brown performed when it mattered, and I don't trust Tatum as a 1A in those situations. But with that said, they're not going to be easy to beat. Mm-hmm. And it's one thing to say, okay, we're going to go with guys that we've seen do it, Caleb Martin, others like that, playing heavier minutes, or we're going to play the guys like Jovic and Hakez, who they've not seen in those situations, but also the Heat have not seen in those situations. Because this is Pat Riley's phrase, this is mine, playoffs tell. You don't know until the guys get under those lights, particularly on the road, how they're going to perform. Are you comfortable with the idea, and we'll throw Jaime into this one as well, are you comfortable with the idea of those guys playing heavy minutes? One of them, now it looks more like Jovic than Hakez. We thought it might be Hakez. One of them even starting, maybe one of them even closing. That would be more likely, I think, to be Hakez than Jovic based on Spo's tendencies this season. Are you willing to let them grow and throw the curveball at a team like Boston in the playoffs, even though, again, they may not have the experience and you may be more likely to lose?
I'm not scared, to be honest with you. And one of the things I was thinking about as you was talking about Boston being this this team of destiny or whatever. Do people remember the early 2010 Bulls or the Indiana Pacers? Like, if you go
Both
back,
were seeded higher than the Big Three.
right, and they were talked about like, oh, they're going to be the one to unseat Miami. They're going to be the one to go make it to the finals. Like, you remember those morning shows of them being picked before the season or through the season and things of that nature, and they never made it. They never got it done. And I think on no hating kind of agenda towards Boston, always respect because anybody has a puncher's chance. I think Boston is more in line with those Pacers teams, with those Bull teams, because I don't think they have enough. And I don't say it a talent wise, I don't think they have enough mentally of an edge in the game of basketball between those lines to make it enough. I don't think that the way Jaylen Brown plays basketball or the way Jason Tatum plays basketball is enough to get the job done. On that note, as far as Nikola Jokic having kind of the mental fortitude to perform in the playoffs, I think he already shown it. I think it's much more pressure for those players foreign to play for their home country in those FIBA games, in those Olympic games, where it means a lot more for them. That's where they grew up. That's where everything is built up. And that means a lot more to them than I think, coming over here and playing America. I mean, we just had a pod or a playback talking about Jokic and Luka in the All-Star game, and like what that meant. Even Jokic, when he won the championship, like he just wanted to get back home. But I think playing for that country on the front of your team means a lot more. And I think Nico showed some very strong mental fortitude in those few games. And I don't expect any less for anybody out there doubting whether or not Nico will show up or be, sharp enough to show up. What did he do against the Hornets when Thomas Bryant was on the sideline?
Oh, no, that's the thing. There have been a lot of, I think, reassuring moments
Oh, yeah.
lately. And some of it is offensively, some of it's defensively, some of it's just interaction with teammates, some of it is even guys like Tyler saying that they're starting the Nikola Jokic fan club, or Jimmy obviously being the big one, and it does seem like there's a comfort level playing with Bam. So, I mean, there's been nothing so far that's like, okay, you can't play him.
Right.
And again, I come back to the beginning of the podcast here. It is a process, right? And it's and there are these steps that I think they wanted to see him take. And I think part of the process was frustrating him, not intentionally, but frustrating him by playing him out of position, sending him back to Sioux Falls. And yes, he complained a little bit. I mean, even like I said, even to me, which hopefully I translated correctly because it was in English, but he was frustrated. But it didn't seem to affect his work.
Oh, no, not at
And
all.
that's ultimately what they care about. They don't care. They don't have an issue with the frustration. They have an issue with the frustration bleeding into the attitude, bleeding into the work. And I don't think they've seen that. I think with others, they did see that. With Hassan is the sort of the prime example of the one that they saw that with. Dion towards the end, others. I don't think that they've seen it with him. So I think that toughness, I think, will lend itself well. And he is, in a lot of ways, an X factor in a series against Boston because he allows them to play differently against Porzingis and Horford if they're going to go with the two bigs. So I just think, and I'll let you close here, but I think there's been enough, and it's taken me a while to get here, but I think there's been enough to say you leave him at the four. If it's going to be Rozier and Hero in the backcourt, you're going to live with some things defensively. But if you're bringing off on the bench, and then we're going to do a separate episode on this week, but if you're going to have a bench core that includes Kevin Love, Duncan Robinson, Caleb Martin, and Jaime Jaquez primarily featured, I'll take that four-man bench against any bench in the league. And that does not include what you may get in specialist situations from DeLon Wright, from Haywood Highsmith, and potentially from others. But I think that they've set this thing up now where Caleb could come off the bench and play the way he played against what we just saw in this last game against Utah, and give you 24 to 26 minutes like that, he'll still have a role. It doesn't mean he necessarily needs to start. So I taking me a while to come around to it, but I've come around to it also.
I think another thing, Ethan, as you talked about, like them trying to see, will he break or does he show Heat culture what they really care, give a damn about? He scored 25 points. And you know what Spo said in the press, like post-game presser? Nico is back on the court, like working with the staff. Like, that's some Mamba mentality shit. And so I just think there's more of him, as we talked about on playback, like Jaime Jaquez replicates Jimmy on the court with his play style. But you can kind of tell that Nico is like really eating up what Jimmy is feeding him from a mental standpoint. And I think that's really going to pay dividends for them, not only on court, but off court as well. Because he, like you said, guys really like Nico. His joyful personality and things of that nature, but he is also a high IQ player, and you can never have too much of that. And even them trusting him with the ball in his hands and kind of orchestrating things or connecting things. And I think the defense that he did show against Brook Lopez, you know, and other guys, that's some battle wounds that you need for him to get, because that's going to pay dividends later in the playoffs.
I also think having Kevin Love around is not a bad thing, because Kevin has had a lot of the skills that that Jovic is trying to develop. All right, thanks to Eternal. You can follow him at Eternal Bass. Check out the rest of our podcast this week. I'll be back at the arena on Tuesday night. Probably going to do a bench-related podcast early in the week. As we always mention, sign up for the Discord at Off the Floor. Check out the new Q&As. Have a good one, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Five on the Floor on the Five Reason Sports Network. After all, someone needs to listen to my dad.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
We've seen the impact we make when we stand together. So let's stand with candidates who represent us in Washington, D.C. Sherrod Brown always stands up for the well-being of our community, capping the price of insulin and cracking down on predatory landlords jacking up rents in black neighborhoods. Black power is in our votes. Let's use it today. Vote now to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
We've seen the impact we make when we stand together. So let's stand with candidates who represent us in Washington, D.C. Sherrod Brown always stands up for the well-being of our community, capping the price of insulin and cracking down on predatory landlords jacking up rents in black neighborhoods. Black power is in our votes. Let's use it today. Vote now to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.